It's been like 2 months ago. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so the Gemara said over here, if you have a katan who's performing shechita, that's no good if he's by himself. If it's a gadol amir al gabav, someone else is standing over him. So then the shechita is good. But mechatchigo one should not do so. Shami kaku shkitasa. Maybe even with the gadol standing over him, the shechita won't be done properly. So the Gemara says, who is this opinion who holds that you don't need kavana when you're performing shechita? Because the assumption of the Gemara is, which Tosis is going to pounce on, is that even when there's someone supervising the shechita, it's only it's still not kavana with shechita. The katan has a mind to move the knife that he can fathom, but to have a mind l'shem shechita and understand the consequences come about as a result of that the katan can't do, even with someone else standing over him. So Taisa says, who is the Gemara says, who is this opinion that holds you don't need kavanah l'shechita? The Gemara says, Rav Nassan, because you're talking about you threw a knife against the wall, it bounced off, and it shechted an animal. And nonetheless, the shechita is good, even though you had a mind to stick it in the wall, you didn't have a mind to shech the animal, still the shechita is good. So you see, you don't need kavanah l'shechita, you need kavanah to move the knife. Again, if I was standing and I had a knife sitting in my lap and I stood up and it fell off, that's not kavanah to move the knife. But if I had kavanah to move the knife, just I didn't have a mind l'shechita, according to Rav Nassan, that's okay. So the Gemara says if he throws it against the wall and it comes back and shechs the animal, that is kosher. However, the Gemara says, really, according to most Rishonim, not the Rambam as we discussed yesterday, according to most Rishonim, you have to move the knife twice in order to shech. Because you can't chop. Chopping is no good. That's called darsa. It has to be a cut back and forth. So how is it that the knife was able to bounce off the wall and cut the animal back and forth? Halacha vayva. So the Gemara said, Rashi explains, no problem. It hit the wall, sliced half the cut in the veshet, hit another wall, sliced the other half of the cut in the veshet. So is it really that so far removed from the shoychet? So we asked yesterday, can such a thing really be considered the action of the shoychet? And in fact, Rashi gives another opinion that we're talking about a very long knife. So you don't need to go back and forth if you have such a long knife because it could cut the cut in the veshet with one fell swoop because you have one part of the knife half, then the other part of the knife the other half. So it could be a very long knife, and I don't have to do back and forth. But if it's a normal-sized knife, it's going to do one half, then the other half. But Rashi's the problem with Rashi's shot is it's bouncing off the wall, then another wall, then it shechs the animal. It's a little bit too far removed from the shechet to be considered his action. And we discussed yesterday, we tried to demonstrate that really, with regards to shechita, ritzicha, murder, and with regards to shechita, you need more than just that the action should be my action. It has to be that the action, comes from my force, not just my action. We discussed one example of this was with regards to Kayach Rishon and Kayach Sheni. The Gemara implies or says with regards to Nezikin that Kayach Sheni is considered. Some Mishnayim said within the Gemara Bava Kamma that Kayach Sheni is considered to be your action. So, for example, if I open a dam and there's water sitting on the dam, and the water comes and floods someone's property. So I not only have to pay for the initial gush of water, that's called Kayach Rishon, but even the water that continues to flow afterwards, that's Kayach Sheni, I'm obligated to pay for the damages because it all relates to me, it's all considered to be my action. However, the Gemara says with regards to, we saw the Gemara in Sanhedrin, with regards to Ritzicha, and it's Gemara in Chulin, and Tassayim et Aleph, with regards to Shechita, that the second gush of water, what's known as the Kayach Sheni, that doesn't relate to you. That's not considered to be your shechita. It's not considered to be a murderer if I kill someone with that second gush of water. He's not sitting underneath the dam. So he asked yesterday, why am I chai for Nezikin, but it's not considered to be shechita or ritzicha? I'm not a murderer and it's not a good shechita. And we explained in the name of Reb Chaim, we saw yesterday that with regards to shechita and ritzicha, you need more than just Nezikin. Nezikin damages is enough if it's my action. Shechita Ritzicha has to be that it comes through your force. And only the first gush of water that comes out as I push up the dam is considered to be my force. All subsequent water that comes later is not considered to be coming from my force. It is my action. I'm obligated for the damages, but it's not my force. Another place we saw this was with regards to this very case of a knife that's sitting on my lap and I get up and the knife falls off and shechs the animal. So even though such a shechita is no good, and if I would have a knife and chas v'shalom, I'd be standing up on a roof and a knife sitting, machete sitting on my lap, and then it falls down and kills somebody, chas v'shalom, so you would not be a reitzeach. Nonetheless, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, if such a thing happens, I'm chai for damages, because I should have been aware. So you see, it is my action when I have a knife in my lap and I stand up and it falls off and kills, causes damage. That's my action, but it's not coming from my force. It's not koyach gavra, and therefore it wouldn't be a shechita, it wouldn't be a ritzicha. So a third area, not only where I have a knife sitting in my lap and it falls off, that's my action for nezikin, not for shechita or ritzicha. Or koyach sheni, with water. The first gush of water is the kayach rishon. The subsequent gushes of water, you know, is kayach sheni. So that's considered to be your action, but not kayach gavra. A third area where this comes up is what's known as kayach koichai. Something that comes, you know, I throw it at one thing, it hits something else, and then bounces down. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Makos, which we saw yesterday, was the last thing that we saw, that with regards to ritzicha, everyone seems to assume kayach koichai is not considered to be your action. If I throw a clump of dirt at the palm tree, then the clump of dirt hits the branch. A branch hits dates. The dates come down, and chas v'shalom kill somebody. I'm not a reitzeach. That's koyach koyach. It's too far removed. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Come on. That's not koyach avra. What about an ezekin? Am I chayiv for koyach koyach? So look over here. The Gemara Bava Kama. It's at the top of the sheet for today or from yesterday. The Gemara says over here in Bava Kama, there's such a halacha called tsroira. Does anyone know what tsroira is? Remember from we all know. We saw about Kamal last year, right? So if a guy is walking along the road and he kicks rocks, his animal, I'm sorry, he's walking along the road and he kicks rocks. The rocks go and cause damage. What's halacha tsroira? Anybody remember that? Chatzi nezek tsroira. We have halacha l'maish misinai. You only pay chatzi nezek. Even though normally Regel and Shane would pay Nezik Shalom, only Shor, if it gores, that's abnormal. So you only pay Chatzin Nezik the first time. Tzreris, just for those who remember Bava Kama well, Tzreris, even though it's Regel and Shane, you pay, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, did you pay Chatzin Nezik? Sumchas never had such Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which is strange. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Perush of Mishnayos, we don't find a Machlekes with regards to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There's no, because halacha l'moshe misina is beyond machlekes. Everyone agrees to that. The problem is here we have a machlekes with regards to halacha l'moshe misina. Tzureres, Simcha's never heard of it. Simcha's never heard of it. He holds you pay nezek shalom. So even if an animal is walking along, it kicks a stone, you pay nezek shalom. You pay the full amount of the damages, not half. So Gemara here is a shaila over here. Isav Gemara Baba Kama Tesmet Alf. What about according to Simcha's if it's koyach koyach? I kick a stone, the stone hits a bucket. The bucket falls down and causes damage. So would Simchas hold you pay Nezek Shalom there too? Or even Simchas agrees that there is halacha l'moshe misinai here, that you only pay chatzi nezek if something comes through your force, but the stone is not enough, it has to be koyach koyach. Sigmar said over here, boy Rav Ashi, koyach koyach with Simchas, koyach dami, meaning and you pay Nezek Shalom, he doesn't hold any, there's any distinction here. Or loyal, maybe here, he holds, you only pay chatzi nezek, you only pay half the amount of the damages. Mi gamar halacha, did he hold of the halacha l'moshe misinai, just he heard it was with regards to something else. Umuki la b'koyach koychai. Oh, he dilma, loy gamar halacha kol. He never heard of this halacha called chatzi nezek, swear is teiku, and the Gemara is not sure. So the Rosh says, the Rif never brought this whole shaila within Simchas, because we don't paskin like Simchas, so what's the point? It's academic. The Rif only brings things that are halacha l'maaseh, so that's why the Rif has no commentary on kachim. Meheri Yibana HaMikdash, but the Rif didn't bring Hilchas Kachim because it wasn't halacha l'maaseh. So the Rambam does. But the Rif did not. We don't have Arba, you know, we don't have a fifth chayuk of Shulchan Aruch. They say the fifth chayuk of Shulchan Aruch is for Seichel, right? It's the fifth chayuk of Shulchan Aruch. You have to have be a human being. But the fifth chayuk of Shulchan Aruch is really kachim. We don't have a fifth chayuk of Shulchan Aruch. We have the, we hope we have the seichel, but the kachim part, we don't, Aruch HaShulchan wrote an Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, what will be, he was optimistic. But the Rif doesn't have it. So Rif lo hevi hak baya mishum lo usumkos mi boi, lei v'les hilch l'kavose. This is not even in the fifth shereg of Shulchan Aruch when it will be printed, Meir Yibana HaMikdash, because we don't paskin this way. So it's never making a Shulchan Aruch. But the Rosh says, I'm going to bring it. V'li nira the yeshnaf kusik gedoy la babayazu. No, there's a huge difference here. What is the halacha with regards to koyach koychoi in Ezekin? Are you chayiv or are you not chayiv? Is that the same as koychoi? Is that the same as something that I, you know, cause damage to my force directly? Like, let's say, I shoot an arrow. The arrow, though, doesn't cause the damage itself. Or I throw a ball at a wall. It doesn't, but it bounces off the wall, another wall, another wall, and then it hits your car. Right? Every time this guy, kids play ball, that's what happens. But really, doesn't it? It hits off this, hits off that. So am I obligated to pay for the broken window? Is koyach koyach your action with regards to the Zikin or not? And the Rosh says that that depends on this Shaila with regards to Sumchas. But he entertains the possibility that koyach koyach could be your action when it comes to the Zikin. Meaning if I hit the ball, it hits a tree, it hits this, it hits that, then it breaks the neighbor's window, you might have to pay. Koyach koyach could be your action in the Zikin. But the Gemara said in Makis, everyone agrees with regards to your Tzikah, it's not your action. What's going on? is koyach koyach your action? Is it not your action? Again, we see the same distinction. Koyach koyach, meaning I throw, it hits this, it hits that, it hits this, it hits that, a force that comes from my force. So it might be your action with regards to Nezikin. It doesn't necessarily mean it's your action with regards to Shechita. Because with regards to Nezikin, it's enough that it's attributed to you. You're responsible for it. With regards to Ritzicha, it has to be your force. It has to be Koyach Gavra. It's a higher standard. So Shechita too then. If I throw a knife, and we've shown Shechita is the same as Ritzicha, requires this higher standard than Nezikin. Not just be attributed to you, come from your force. So if I throw a knife off the wall, it hits another wall, and then checks the animal. It would be a cool YouTube video, right? But such a thing would not be a kosher shechita. Not be a kosher shechita, because you need koyach gavra, just like ritzicha. So that's why this Rashi is very shver. That's probably, it's a difficult pshat in the Gemara. Yeah. What do you want to say?
So if that were the case, and you only have to pay chetzi nezek, in like nowadays, if that happened, and your neighbor's Jewish, expected the full, would that be considered?
Yeah, how do we paskin though? We pause and you pay nezik shama. I don't know halachah lemaisi. You pay chatzin nezik. We pay nezik shama. If it's an adam hamazik, no, that's not shein and regel. It would be if my dog kicked a stone.
Right. Kicked a stone.
Okay.
If your dog was playing in the game.
Okay.
Then maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. That's also be a cool YouTube video. But
Okay. Yeah. You know, if you do it, adam hamazik, there is no such thing. Yeah. You're obligated to pay. Yeah.
Why isn't this just the machlokas of mitzvot shvilos kavanah?
Okay. I was going to talk about it. We'll get into it. We'll talk about a mitzvah next time. It's a good. The Rabbi Shain and bring it up here. What does kavanah l'shchit have to do with mitzvah shvichas kavanah? It's very, very good. It takes us a little bit far off, but we'll talk about it. Because you brought it up. We'll talk about it. One other area where this comes up, we'll get into the Rishonim have. We need more makamis for it. So, but the one other area where this comes up is not only in shchita and ritzicha, but perhaps with regards to netilas yadayim. Netilas Yadayim also requires Koyach Gavra. Chevra, turn, there's a Gemara later on Daf, Kuf, Zayin Amad Aleph. Kuf Zayin Amad Aleph. Kuf Zayin Amad Aleph. 5 lines down. See, Gemara says, Amar HaPapa, Hai Arisa de Daloi. Arisa de Daloi is a irrigation, what do they call those big things that outside that hold gas or water, whatever. A big container would hold water, and they would use it to irrigate the fields. You would bring the water from the well, you would fill it up, and you would irrigate the fields with that. So Hai Arisa de Daloi, a big container that was used for irrigation. A night lemimenu yadayim. So you would open the spigot and it would run. You can't use that for netilas yadayim. Deloy asu mikoyach gavra. Same phrase. It doesn't come through your force. The mikrav legabe daloy deka asu mikoyach gavra. If you bring your hands close, because it's talking about using the water in the irrigation canal. That's not mikoyach gavra. Right, because it comes down the canal, then it goes through the canal, and then it reaches your hands. That's not mikoyach gavra. But if I put my hands close to the container, right, the right underneath the spigot, that would be mikoyach gavra. The kaos mikoyach gavra, no to me menu yadayim. Then it can be good. So what do you see from this Gemara? That netilas yadayim also has to come mikoyach gavra. Netilas yadayim also has this higher standard. It also has this higher standard. So look over here. The Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Nun Tes, Siv Zayin, Oiz Daud over here on the sheet. Tzarech sheyavar amayim mikoyach noisein. The water for netilas yadayim has to come from the person who opens the spigot. Lefichach tzino shedol amayim min hayor v'shefek boy v'nimshach mimenu amayim lishkais es hasode. I have an irrigation thing. The water is flowing along. Or what would we call that? A faucet, right? Or it's in the sink. It's going along. So you can't use that for netilas yadayim. It's not coming mikoyach gavra. The force of the guy who opened the spigot is no longer recognizable. If I put it close to the faucet and then turn on the faucet, it can't be the faucet that's running already, and then I turn it on, even though it's not directly underneath the faucet, also lo tefila. They're still coming from the Koyach HaAdam, and that therefore would be considered to be your force. The Mordechai says it's only if I just open the faucet. Let's say I have the faucet running already. That's no good, because that's a Koyach Sheni, we said. Right? The Koyach Rishon is the first gush of water. Koyach Sheni is subsequent gushes of water. So it says the Mordechai over here always, hey, that which you say you open the spigot, that's considered to be koyach gavra. The mayu bekiluach rishon, the first gush. Ah, shaygado bekoyach rishon hu. That's considered to be koyach gavra. Inami chayizim v'soysmin hadad bebarza. I open and close the spigot repeatedly. Ah, bechayizim emoshik they shi eliyalim mikoyach gavra. If you do such a thing, then it will be considered to be mikoyach gavra. But otherwise, it's not considered to be Mikoyav Gavra. It wouldn't be good for Netilas Yadayim. So what do you say over here too? A person, let's say, doesn't have a kais for Netilas Yadayim, doesn't have water, can he use a faucet or not? So if he opens and closes the faucet every time, that might be considered to be Mikoyav Gavra. It's not ideal. Why? Why not? Isn't this ideal? No. Because even though the Shulchan Aruch is talking about Lechachila, what's different about our faucets and this big container that they're housing water in for irrigation?
We have unlimited
water. Huh?
We have unlimited water while they're just stuck to whatever.
Fantastic. So that's what Tzitzel says, really, that if you would pick up the container and use it for Netilas Yadayim, that might be a good kli for Netilas Yadayim. There is a kli there. So I'm taking it out of a big bucket or a big container, which I could have used for Netilas Yadayim if I would, I would be able to manage it, if I would be, strong enough, but it's just easier for me to turn on the spigot, but it's coming out of a kli that's roi linitila. Here, the faucet is coming out of things, that pipes that are attached to the ground. That's not a utensil that's roi linitila. So it's really says, maybe b'diyevid. No, it's not a kli. It's attached to the ground. It's like using a building.
What if it's like,
so if I have such a big container, it's in the ground for irrigation, that's also no good.
You have a hot water heater in your house, so if you only use
you
the
can
hot
use
water,
hot water for the Netilas Yadayim.
Another shiloh.
But even it's here, it's even worse, because these are made to be attached to the ground. Anything that's made to be attached to the ground is not a kli, it's not makabel tumah, because it's made to be attached to the ground. The ground is not makabel tumah, so probably anything that's made to be attached to the ground is not makabel tumah. That might help us. That's why some argue that tap water should be good for a mikvah. Why don't we use tap water for a mikvah? It has to be rainwater. So we have to come up with fancy systems of pipes to collect the rainwater to put into a mikvah. Why not use the tap water? Where does the tap water come from, Chaim?
Rain!
What's wrong with the tap water? Oh, you can't put water in a utensil and then put it in a mikvah. That's what's known as mayim shu'uvim. It was in a utensil. You can't have a cup of water and then put it into the mikvah. That's no good. It has to be water that was never in a receptacle. But maybe the pipes, some argue, the pipes, we can't even say this. I mean, it's like, it's blasphemous. But there are some paiskim who suggest this, that maybe our pipes are not utensils, because they're made to be attached to the ground. Anything that's made to be attached to the ground is not a utensil, in which case you can fill up the mikvah with rainwater, with tap water. Built to make for the tap water.
That's what you think.
There was a Talmud Chacham here in the United States. You can find that they have it in the library, more than one copy of it. They have like six copies of a book someone printed in the 20s, I think, when mikvahs were not popular in the United States. And I was over here. I'm in the west side of my shul. The east side, Rabbi Bleich has a shul. Bleich is one of the senior paiskim here in Yeshiva. You wouldn't encounter him until the Smicha program, and even then you have to kind of find him. But anyway, He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but he has a shul in York Avenue, what's known as the Yorkville Synagogue. So he's been there for a long, long time. So the only mikveh that's there on the east side, before Fifth Avenue built a synagogue, and then Safra built a mikveh, Fifth Avenue built a mikveh, but before then it was the Chabad. How old is Chabad on the east side? 20 years, 30 years. So I asked him, what did they use for a mikveh before Chabad? He started laughing. What mikvah before? They weren't going. There was no mikvah in the neighborhood. What do you mean? What were they using for the mikvah? There was no mikvah. So a guy printed a Talmud Chacham printed a sefer about how to build mikvahs easily, because it was difficult to get to a mikvah. So he shows it's hilarious, but he shows how you could build a mikvah underneath a stairwell. You know, like in that little area that people could have a closet. So he said you could put a mikvah there. You could put a mikvah in the basement. You could put a mikvah here. And it was mekel with tap water. He says, some place people say you could use tap water because in the end of the day, it's not a receptacle. It's all considered to be attached to the ground. Maybe that's not considered to be a receptacle, and it's no different than rainwater that you collect on the roof, and you have your own collection system how to fill the mikveh with the rainwater. Because it's meant to be attached to the ground. It's not a utensil. So too over here. If it's meant to be attached to the ground, it's not a utensil. It's really not good for netilas yadayim, where you do need a utensil. Mikvah, utensil is no good. With regards to netilas yadayim, that's exactly what you need. So, okay, it's not ideal, but, you know, we're not mako with mikvahs. For this, you know, we would have rainwater that doesn't come from the tap, so maybe one could be mako for machmir by mikvahs, maybe it could be mako by netilas yadayim. That's all right. So, okay, if you have nothing else, that's you could rely on this, I guess, but otherwise you really shouldn't do that. But either way, it's only kol chishon, so you have to turn on and off the faucet. I've seen people do it. It looks a little weird, but you have to turn on and off the faucet every time, so you make sure it be a kol chishon. What other area, though, that doesn't fall into this? Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I just thought about this, but like, let's say you had like a game, you get hot dogs. I don't even know, and they have like those electric sinks.
Kosher hot dogs?
Yeah, of course. I'm saying, yeah. But let's say you're trying to wash. They have the electric sinks. That's for sure not your. You're not doing anything.
Ah, that's good.
You're putting your hand.
You're putting your hand in. That's a maisa.
Really, it's not.
For sure. Yeah, there's no chalois turning.
Oh, you're saying with the sensor?
Yeah.
That's better. That's even better. It's better.
Force.
Better. That's the best.
Really?
Yeah, sure. It's horrible for Shabbos, but it's good for Tehillas HaDayim. Shabbos is probably like Nezikin. That's the last thing over here. Look, like Gimel. We'll have to get back to Gadol Olam HaGabba for next time. And then Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. But the Gemara says over here, in Shabbos, if you throw something at a tree and then it hits something else and then it hits something else and it causes false fruits to fall off the tree, you're chayv in Ochel Shabbos for Teilesh. You're not allowed to pick an apple off a tree on Shabbos. It's one of the Lamites Melachis. You're not allowed to pick fruits off trees. That's Kaitzer. Cutting or pruning. So let's say I throw something at the tree, that hits something else, and it causes the fruits to be, the dates to fall off the palm tree. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, you're chayav for such a thing. No, you are chayav for such a thing. So Shabbos, you see, is like Nezikin. It's enough if it's my action, if it's attributed to me. There's no, you don't have these coolers when it comes to Shabbos. It's only Shechita, Tikkun, Netilas Yadayim. It's not enough with that it be your action, be attributed to you, you're responsible for it. In Shabbos and Ezekiel, there might be enough here. You need koyach gavur; it has to come from your force. So we show that there's a difference between koyach rishon, koyach sheni, koyach koychoi. Maybe if it's sitting on my lap and it falls off, and I don't realize, then all those things are not good enough. Tosis here is going to bring up a shaila. Who's to say that the katan doesn't have kavana? Don't you have gadol amid al gabav? Doesn't that make him as if he has kavana? Why does the Gemara say we're going to Reb Nosson that you don't need kavana for shechita? Once the gadol amid al gabav, doesn't that give him kavana? That's what Taisus jumps up and down. We see such a thing by Gittin. If you have a gadol emir al gabav, that makes the ksiva lishma. So how come this doesn't make this l'shem shechita? How come the gadol emir al gabav, the supervisor, doesn't make it into lishma? So we'll have to get into that. All right. It's a quick on the parasha.